When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller here until 1, just before 1. Trent's plays of the day, Circus Sports, sponsor those. Bottom of the hour, Jackson Gatlin's going to help us out with the NBA as the play-in games begin tonight. Right now, though, let's talk some Hawks, and let's get into those free-falling Los Angeles Dodgers, who are putting they're in the throes of a losing streak. They're 400 baseball in their last 10. Not going well for the L.A. Dodgers. Hello, John Bowen, Cam Trenton, Ken. How are you?
They'll be fine. I'm doing good.
Oh,
how are you?
Boy.
Phone's going wild with Tornado Watch.
Yeah, no, you're not alone here as well. So pay heed to those. And I want to put this out on the air one more time. If you sense weather in the area that might be getting worse, News Radio 1040 WHO has you covered here locally. A lot of ground to cover with you, John. Let's start with last night. My favorite moment was Kate Martin, and it's not even close. Couldn't have been happier for her, who apparently thought maybe there was a chance she might be drafted, but was there more so just for her friend, Caitlin Clark, and there she goes in the second round. Steep hill to climb to make one of those, or to secure one of those 144 roster spots league-wide.
Right.
But still, just the fact that she was drafted, I thought that was a wonderful moment.
No, and I think it shows just how teams valued her. And, I mean, you look at the – I mean, just – the career she had was pretty good. This season was really, really good. And, I mean, she was a very big part of that team's success. And just the way she played, the way, you know, her leadership abilities, the way she carried herself. And, you know, I've always said this about this team because, you know, I've had people ask me before, you know, how does this team get along with Caitlin? And I said, I think these players all realize she's going to take them somewhere.
Yep.
And I think that's what this was with Kate Martin is, you know, everybody's watching Caitlin Clark, but oh, by the way, they're seeing how good Kate Martin is. And I think you saw that last night in the draft. So really good for her. She's just a really good person, really good, you know. But I've enjoyed covering her as much as Caitlin. And so to see her get drafted like that, I think that's really cool.
With that being said, you know, there's a lot of conversation about Caitlin, how it's going to translate right away. And is there going to be a learning curve? Absolutely. You're going into the professional ranks. It happens for everybody. How steep do you think that climb's going to be, though, for Caitlin?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as steep. But I mean, I do think she's going to have some problems this year. And part of it is just because you've just played a full season of basketball that included a run all the way into April.
Mm-hmm.
You've had all this stuff going on. Now you're going to have to transition into a whole other season. You know, so, I mean, I do think, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how, you know, that kind of translates, that fatigue of having to play what they've done and now get in this league. But, I mean, I do think there's always a learning curve for rookies. I don't care, you know, what league it is, what sport it is. And I do think that she is going to, but I think she's prepared for that. And I think she's going to handle that very well. So I do think there's a learning curve, but I don't think maybe it's going to be as steep as what other people think. To me, it's just going to be the more of the fatigue thing and how well she can get through this whole year.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially if indeed there's an Olympic opportunity that comes her way, put that on just on top of the pile. That's a big ask. That's a great point, John. The fact that, you know, they played in the last game of the year, the last possible day of the season. And then she started her week in L.A., then she's back in New York. Between there's the stop at Saturday Night Live. Yeah, she's got a lot of pressure on her. She's going to be pulled in a lot of directions, and I believe that, you know, she'll have the foundation around her to make it just as easier, smooth on her as possible. Going to be fascinating to watch. The fact that no one has sold out their jersey on draft day quicker in the history of drafts, not WNBA, all sports, than she did. It's just remarable. Anyways, go ahead.
It's really great. It's been great to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, so I, you know, it's one of those things. It's, I really want to see where this goes next, because, I mean, I think she's having a lot of fun with this ride, and I can't blame her for that.
I can't wait to watch. I've never watched a WNBA game in my life, and can't wait to watch, and promise I will, and will. We'll talk about it the next day. Anyways, spring football this weekend. We started to see the transfer portal. It's open. We saw Bostic enter, which was kind of a surprise, right? Because he was, you know, thought of to be in contention amongst the receivers that could have an impact on this year's team. He's not going to be the last, but he was the first, John, well, Proctor and him. But just your thoughts on Bostic and the fact that there's some work to do to get that roster down to the allotted scholarships, considering you're probably going to have to bring some dudes in as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fascinating to watch this, and it's not just football, but basketball too. And, you know, the names that are going in there, and I can't remember how many names they said had been there. I think it was 90 names before 11 o'clock this morning.
Jeez.
You know, and I mean, it's just, I mean, it's like everybody's racing to the lifeboat, but the ship may not be sinking, you know, and it's really, and in his case, that was a really surprise, because we had him last week
in the
availability. Okay. Yeah. And everybody talked about how well he was playing and all this other stuff. Now all of a sudden he's gone, you know, so, it's a weird situation, and there's probably going to be some more names. You're going to be like, really? I didn't expect that. I mean, I think this portal period is going to be really wild for college football, because I think there's just going to be a lot of guys bailing out. And so, you know, again, you have to get down to a certain limit by, you know, the 1st of August. So this whole roster thing is just going to be fluid, you know, maybe even into the summer. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
It's something that the wide receiver group, they have 5 scholarship wide receivers right now. I mean, mm-hmm. You look across and it's anywhere between 10 and 15 mm-hmm. scholarship receivers for everybody. I know they got a ton of walk-ons, but they're just that. I know scholarships are at a crunch here, but backup quarterback, a lot of people want that too, because they don't want to see Deacon Hill trot out there again when Glass McNamara goes down for another time. You have to find more wide receivers, though, and big wide receivers, don't you? Or are they just going to go in and this is going to be the group again trying to catch balls?
Well, I think you're going to look for that position especially. You know, depending on what your quarterback situation looks like, you know, going into, you know, once you get out of Saturday, you know, do they look somewhere else there? You know, and again, there's just going to be some other guys that are going to be looking around on this roster saying, I'm not going to play at different spots, whether it be linebacker or defensive line or whatever. And so, like I said, I just think there's just going to be this constant revolving door. And so I'm not really... You're right. They do need to find some guys, but I'm not really sweating it, because I just think that it's just going to be just an ongoing thing, you know, especially here in the next month. So, you know, what it looks like now is going to probably look an awful lot different by Memorial Day.
It's
just the way it's going right now.
For sure. And you've heard a lot of the offensive players that you've had an opportunity to talk with this mm-hmm. spring. Does it seem like they're, I don't know, looser, certainly having more fun in Tim right. Lester's. Do you sense that being around them, John?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of sense it the other day. I mean, somebody asked Caleb Brown if this offense was more wide receiver friendly, and he started laughing, and he's like, oh, yeah. So, I mean, I do think that, you know, it's a different voice. It's a new voice. It's not the one you've been hearing the last few years, not the one that, you know, and so I think these guys are really kind of enjoying this, and I think maybe the installation is going a lot better than maybe everybody else thought. You know, again, we won't get a really good look at it till, you know, that first game, because I mean, just again, there's going to be so many moving parts to it. But Saturday is going to be really interesting to see what it looks like and see what they do and see what, you know, what they show and what they kind of hold back. So we'll get it. But yeah, you're right. It was like these guys just really seem like they like this coach, you know, this coach. They like what he's saying. They like what the offense looks like. Now it's just a matter of executing it, in my mind.
What's a realistic, I guess, point total was the big buzzword from a year ago in the drive to, what, 325 that we Jeez. Had during the course of the season.
Oh, God, I don't want to hear that again.
Right. What's a realistic number, though? Year number one of a new offense, an offensive line that still has question marks. What is realistic in your mind for this team to average? 21, 22, 23 points a game, that range?
Somewhere, you know what? If they do that, they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
Just because that defense is so good. And I think special teams-wise, they're going to be really good. So if those, the other two sides of the ball are, you know, the other two aspects of the game are really good, 22, 23 gets them, I think, a really good record. And so if you can do that, great. You know, again, it's good. There's a lot of variables there. I'm a lot more confident about the offensive line, maybe, than, you know, I was at this time last year. It's the quarterback question that I think will be the one that I really want to see where that goes. But, yeah, that number to me would win you a lot of games in my mind.
Have you guys had a chance to speak with Reese Dakin, Tory Taylor's heir apparent?
He was there today. I didn't get to make it today, but he was there today. He sounds like he's again, that's going to be one of those guys I want to see on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he talked today about, you know, he knows the relationship Tory Taylor had with fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be really interesting to see. That's one of those things I'm going to kind of want to watch on Saturday, see how good he really is. And, you know, it's not going to be, and it's going to be really that kind of weather conditions that you're going to see next fall. You know, it's going to be
right.
50 degrees, maybe a little bit of wind. So let's see how he handles it. So I think Saturday is going to be a good test for that.
Speaking of that, the kicker situation last year went awry with Drew Stevens late in the season. Any talk at all about Stevens, the way that it's going? Didn't get to have the kick against Nebraska at the end that became a game winner. And then, well, in the final two games, never got an opportunity. Kicked off twice to begin a half, and that was it.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I'm, again, another one I want to see and where he's at right now, because that is going to be such a key position because of the way he finished the season. So, again, we're gonna get kind of a look on Saturday. You know, again, not going to be ideal condition. Let's see how he's kicking. Let's see how he's doing right now, because I do think that is a big part of when you're talking about the point production. You're going to have a guy that's going to have to be reliable at that spot. And so it's really going to be an incumbent on him to really solidify his spot this spring and into the summer and into August.
John Bowenkamp is joining us, Hawkeye Nation, Iowa College Hoops, and, of course, the Associated Press. A couple basketball questions for you, John. We know where Patrick McCaffrey's ended up. Likewise, Tony Perkins. What about incoming? Are they getting any closer? Boy, there's most schools have at least made it official that somebody's joining the program. I haven't seen that yet for Fran McCaffrey.
No, and he's had a couple of guys in. I think he had a guy. He was giving at least one in this week, and maybe another one. And again, you look at the portal. I mean, guys popped up in there this week. I mean, just in the last couple of days, that you know, from big name schools. And so I think a lot of schools are just kind of waiting to see, you know, who might be out there, because they may go get a couple of guys and then all of a sudden some really big names pop in there that you could have gotten. So I think it's just, okay, who's interested in us? What do you have NIL money to spend wise? And then try to fill those spots. And again, you know, you look around, you just look around the state even. I mean, I know Iowa State has, because, I mean, look at all the spots you and I has to fill, and Drake has spots to fill. And it's like, I just think it's going to be, again, going back to what I said too early about football, it's going to be an ongoing thing into the summer, because, I mean, Iowa doesn't have too many spots to fill scholarship-wise, but you still, I think, want to get some guys in. And I know he's got a couple guys coming in. And again, you just, somebody may pop up here at the end of the week that you weren't expecting. So it's just, it's wild right now. It's fascinating to watch that portal every day.
Tony Perkins, after his commitment, had a tweet yesterday, interesting, said it was not about the money. If it wasn't about the money, what was it about?
Really?
I don't know. You know, but if you think back to the way he played, especially down the stretch, I mean, he looked like
he did.
I don't want to say checked out.
Yep, he did.
But I mean, there was that. I mean, he wasn't what he was in some of those other February runs they had.
Yep.
And I just think he was wanting to change his scenery, and now he's found it, and let's see what he can do there. So, I mean, I always liked Tony. Good guy, good player, but yeah, down the stretch, he just really didn't connect like he had the last couple of Februarys and Marches, and you could just kind of see he was ready to go.
John, we continue to hear the money factor, and that the Swarm mm-hmm. Collective just is not as invested as they are in football and even women's basketball, as they get the same percentage. We know it takes a lot more money to build a men's basketball roster. How dire is this? Is it overstated at times? Is it a real concern when you look around kind of your other brethren, the Wisconsins, Nebraskas, Minnesotas of the world? How bad is it for men's basketball and what they have financially?
It is a problem, and if Tony Perkins was commanding that kind of market money, I mean, eventually this market is going to stabilize. Now, whether it's next year down, 2 years down, or whatever, but it really is interesting, and I think as you move along, you're almost going to have like a Moneyball approach of who can fit our program and what you're going to look at. And if that means you look at lower level programs to find players, if it means you look at junior college players, which I'm just shocked more teams aren't doing that just because of it saves you a little bit of money somewhere. I don't know. It we're going to learn more about this probably in the next year on where it's at. I mean, because you've got to fill some holes and you've got to fill it with experienced players. But if you can't compete, with the big money, okay, how are you going to handle that? And I think that's going to be the biggest question for this coaching staff here in the next year or two.
Remember when junior college used to be the place everybody shopped? Remember that, John Bowenkamp?
Oh, I was looking, I was looking last night at the junior college rankings on ESPN, and there's a lot of very talented players there that are available. And it's like everybody's looking in the portal, and it there's a lot of junior college guys, and I think you're going to start seeing a lot of high school kids, especially in this state, start to go that route because it gives them a couple years of college experience, and then you hope somebody sees you. That's going to be one of the interesting things in this portal world on where the players go now JUCO-wise and who starts looking there.
I think it was probably a little bit before your time, but I know you covered the Rams. You covered some St. Louis mm-hmm. stuff over the years. Did you ever cover Whitey Herzog, who passed away
no.
at 92? It was before you, right?
Yeah, it was before me. I mean, I remember, those teams. And, they played the Dodgers in 85, and, we know how that ends. So, in this area, there's a lot of Cardinal fans, and, God, they love Whitey Herzog. And so I remember those teams. And those teams were built very well for that stadium.
Yeah,
and
speed.
That was a big stadium.
Yes,
and you had that AstroTurf. And he did a really good job of building that roster to that stadium, and that's why they won a lot of games.
Indeed, they did. John Bowenkamp, John, Hawkeye Nation, Iowa College Hoops, and Associated Press. Thanks for jumping on here, John. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Have a good day, everybody.
Take care. Good to hear from you. John Bowenkamp, as we check in on the Hawkeyes, etc. Yeah, Kevin Overton, speaking of Drake, and they got some roster spots to fill. He's making his decision today, correct? Didn't I see that?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
It's Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and he says Drake is still in the conversation. I think he's just being polite. I think he is.
I hope he's more than polite.
I do, too. I'd love to see him play here again.
Pretty good building block.
Right, but if you're Texas Tech and Oklahoma, you probably have more money in the NIL.
Going home,
think.
Playing
in
the SEC or the Big 12.
Yeah.
Big step up.
He's a good player.
Yes.
But it's a big step up. That's true.
Speaking of the MVC, how do you think Heisey, what kind of role is he going to have for Iowa State?
A really good question. Really good question. Because there were certainly a lot of days that we would talk about the Panthers mm-hmm. and we would start a conversation with him.
Yep.
That's a good question.
More than Pavelski this past season?
Yes, but not. I wonder what he averaged minute-wise, Pavelski. Not a ton.
Right, and there was DNPs in there, coach's decision.
So does he average 15 minutes a game, Heisey?
Maybe even a tick less, but he plays every game. That's kind
yes,
of where I am.
I'm with you.
Maybe averages mm-hmm. more 12. Well, take a non-conference aside, or
right.
maybe there's a game he plays 25. In conference play, 12 minutes a game, but he plays every single time.
I don't think either you or I are poo-pooing his game.
No, not at all.
It's a hell of a roster.
Yes.
DJ's assembled.
There's just not a ton of minutes.
That's true.
Minutes breakdown coming up this summer.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be a fun July conversation
all right,
piece.
I'm in. Now we'll be talking WNBA and my Indiana Fever. 12:25. It's time, Trent. Hit the sounder.
Give me a second here because the sounder was not in today. So let me find it.
All
and
right.
I know I have it.
It's bonus bucks time, folks.
It
That's
is.
Where we're going for.
And now we're ready for it.
KXNO's bonus bucks keeper It's Happy. Happy at KXNO.com. Happy KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000. I know we don't talk a lot of hockey. This quest for the final playoff spot in the East.
I told you a couple weeks ago.
Bonkers.
I wanted the Red Wings to make it just because hockey time. It's a good one.
And Lalonde, the head coach there, was in with the Wild for a long time.
Four teams for
one spot, and Washington's in the driver's seat. They win,
and that'd be a great storyline too. Ovechkin this point in his career. He's had another good season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely has. He's within like 50 of Gretzky. One more on that front. So Connor McDavid, you've heard of him.
Stud.
Right. Best player in the game, I think. Still. And I don't think I would get too much pushback. Last night he recorded his 100th assist, joining only four players to have ever done it. Bobby Orr.
Okay.
Mario Lemieux. McDavid becomes number three, and the other guy that's on there for 100 assists was Wayne Gretzky, who did it 11 times.
Some of those numbers.
He's just unbelievable.
Can't wrap your mind around
that. You cannot. I mean, Mario Lemieux, for my money, I think he's the best player that ever played. That's just me. Bobby Orr, a lot of people think he's the best player that ever played. Connor McDavid and Wayne Gretzky did it 11 times. Remarkable. Brace yourselves, folks. More NHL conversation in the weeks ahead. It's playoff.
You're licking your chops over there.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. Miller and Condon, I'm going to talk some NBA. Yes, the other winter sport begins its playoff run tonight. We'll talk NBA playoffs coming up next. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Take him until 1. Trent's plays of the day still to come. Circus Sports sponsor those. Kevin Overton is a Red Raider.
Good news, we'll get to see him plenty in the Big 12.
Yeah, but he's not going to be playing his home games on Forest Avenue.
He is not.
That's unfortunate. We will see. McCollum Boys works cut out for him, but DeVries was in the same spot, right, when he rebuilt the roster. Mm-hmm. But he had one, sitting around the kitchen table that he was able to persuade to come play for dad, and that worked out pretty well.
That one's easy.
Yeah, it is, although I guess McCollum's kid's really good.
Yes.
I don't know if he's DeVries good. But still, anyways, a lot of work to do over at Drake, so we'll see how that turns out, but Overton will not be a part of it, apparently. He is a Red Raider, and into the Big 12 he goes.
Where's he going? Where are the kids going to go? So, the suburban schools we talked about. Roosevelt's had plenty of success.
Mm-hmm.
You go that direction. Mm-hmm. You go to one of the city schools. Does that kind of endear you?
Mm-hmm.
Especially Roosevelt with the Forest Avenue crowd and the people south of Grand and some of the season ticket holders there.
Or you buy DeVries house.
You just do that. And
because he's moving.
Right. Is the house northwest? You can go anywhere. You can open a roll, too. He's making the transfer in, so you can make that route. Go that direction. That's going to be a fun one to keep an eye on.
Is.
But I know the question came up at his introductory.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. And he said they weren't sure yet where they were going to land. A lot of good options.
Yep.
We are very lucky here with the coaches that we have at the high school level.
Well, you know more than I, but certainly you're very close to them and good basketball.
Yes.
And good football. And, be
everything.
A while. It is. It absolutely is. So your baseball will start when?
About a little over a month, late May. Is when we get going there.
How did Brody Beck pitch over the weekend, by the way?
Awful.
He was?
So Marcus Morgan is about on his way out of the staff. He was okay.
Yeah.
Obermueller has been their best pitcher. We came into the season. This is not...
Breck was going to get drafted. Now, he still will.
He was going to be drafted in the first five picks.
Right.
Not the case for the numbers he's put up this year. It's been brutal.
So what's wrong?
Morgan was going to be drafted. I don't know if that's going to be the case anymore. I have no idea. This team came in with the highest expectations for an Iowa baseball team ever.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. They were preseason top 20. Not from the Hawkeye website that put up. No, national guys.
Yeah.
Well-known people. Baseball America. The guy over that does all the College World Series from Omaha all the time. Kyle, whatever his last name is.
Okay.
Those were people that had this as a top 15, top 10 team coming into the season. They might not make the Big Ten tournament.
Jesus.
There has been plenty of those seasons we can think back upon with big expectations, and they fall flat on their face. I don't know if we've seen anything quite like this. If it ends in that, not even making the Big Ten tournament, top eight of the 13 baseball playing teams, Wisconsin, doesn't play. That might be go down as one of the most disappointing years in Iowa sports history.
Pressure on Heller?
No. I mean, he's built this program where it's a sustainable model.
Right. And they're investing a lot in the ballpark.
Right. And that's been a mess, too. So have you seen, speaking of crooks from earlier, the crook from around here that bilked a bunch of people out of money, a lot of developmental deals.
Yeah.
He was apparently one of the people that had given a lot of money to the or said he was going to give a lot of money to that Iowa baseball project, Dwayne Banks Field project, and all everything that they were doing. And they're in trouble now because it was something like $8 million was going to be
promised. He was going to write that big of a check?
That big of a check. He was the leader, and now that's all blown up with the guy. I can't think of his name, but it was really impactful. And maybe that's a problem, too. Heller's, he's chasing money.
Yeah.
This is not Kirk Ferentz. He'll go shake some hands, meet with a couple of people.
Sure.
Go have a dinner.
And it'll get done.
And it'll get done.
Yep.
Rick Heller, you're talking grassroots. You're putting in the work. Maybe it's as simple as that, where he is stretched so thin. We've heard Kirk talk about this, right? And he talked about it this offseason, about being stretched thin, and that's why he wanted the associate head coach, and that's how Seth Wallace got that job, for those kind of things that are out there. Rick Heller doesn't have that.
Yeah.
He's got two staff members. It's a completely different
NIL, has NIL got to baseball?
It's there. I mean, for the SEC and the ACC. And,
right.
But
if you're going to Vanderbilt or one of those schools,
Arkansas, those programs definitely invest.
Texas, probably.
Yes, absolutely. They do, but again, we're talking different levels.
Where does NIL end, or does it? Is there a cap coming? Is it go internally? Something has to be done,
right?
Because it's driving coaches out of their sport, out of their profession, quite honestly. And say what you want that they make a lot of money, and they do, and you're 100% right. But it's a factor when these guys are all going back to the pros every chance that they get.
It's not a sustainable model.
I don't think it is.
Where you have these collectives put in place and trying to figure it out. Look, there's no reason financially that the Iowa men's basketball team is in poor of a shape as it is right now.
And we hear that that's exactly the case.
Get it? People don't want to invest. Uh-huh. Disappointment. It's gone stale. Understand all that.
But so does the Swarm focus most of their money on football? Was it created to be a football entity?
Yes. And reading many of the things that Brad Heinrichs posts and hearing him from time to time, he has a very close relationship with Kirk Ferentz. I mean, that's pick up the phone, he'll call Kirk.
Okay.
Or Kirk will pick up the phone and call him. I think the relationship is really good with the women's program. And it's not that it's icy with Fran. It's just not the same. 80% of the money goes to the football program.
I wonder what Bloom's is. I wonder what Wee Wills is.
Yeah, is it?
I don't think it would be that. I don't think it would be. Well, maybe. I don't know.
How much goes to the women's basketball program in Iowa State? I don't. But what I do know, when it was initially formed, 80% to football, 10% to men's basketball, 10% to women's
basketball. That's how it was. Okay.
And now they've worked to invest in all the scholarship athletes. They all get some kind of cut. What it is, I don't know. But you have that point. And if you want to invest and you want to. Hey, I want all this money to go even to baseball. I want all this money to go
you want
to men's
you
basketball.
Want to ticket it to a certain sport.
But you can't do it at the $20 a month level.
Right.
You have to invest a whole lot more in order for that to happen. It's a difficult spot. And when you don't have as close a relationship, you don't have the funds there. I don't think Fran is real pleased about the way that this sport has gone.
No, I don't think he's either.
He's one of the cleanest coaches out there. I don't think there's any doubt that he is as above the board in the past iteration of college athletics that you were going to find, but you're going to be left behind.
Yep.
Iowa financially, their men's basketball program should not be at this spot. They should not be at a spot where Tony Perkins, a second team all-conference player, leaves because of money. It shouldn't be there. That they're not able to go out there and invest like Iowa State can, like Wisconsin can, like Marquette and Creighton. Iowa financially should be fine. And if it becomes all in-house, they will be. Where here's your salary cap. All right, you get $5 million a year for basketball. You get $2 million for women's basketball. You get $10 million for football.
As much as I hate to say it, I think that might be the best way to do it.
There's still going to be shadiness.
Oh, sure. But there'll be chicanery. We'll go back to that.
There'll be plenty of that still out there. But that's the only way to get the toothpaste back in the tube?
Or as close as you can.
Right. There'll be things that will still happen. But I think that's the end game. Will it actually happen? Mm-hmm. Will we actually get there?
Because Owen Freeman's going to have plenty of opportunities this offseason to cash in.
Right.
He
There's
is.
No doubt. Yeah. He's going to be himself.
Creighton's got very deep pockets. How bad do they want Josh Sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a football program.
Those would be the two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sanford, as we know, is looking around at the NBA.
Right.
We'll see where that goes, if it goes anywhere. I think he's going to leave his name in as long as he can. As you and many others have said, this is the year to come out.
It's a bad draft.
It's a bad draft.
It's a bad draft. Mm-hmm. And if you get that two-way deal, give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun. Not funny. You know, it's... was eye-opening last night was people realizing for the first time, well, you don't get paid much money to play in the WNBA. I had no idea that this was the salary level. I mean, I saw that time after time after time last night. People just incredulous that, why would she leave school? Well, and you see, Ravel's back on that train again today.
He's just an idiot. He's just a dumb person.
He's going to die on that hill.
The dumbest Northwestern grad of all time is Darren Ravel. I'll die on that hill.
Yeah,
he's an idiot. He's a stupid person.
I think he is. He just started a new site. Did you see that?
Oh, really?
Collective. Or it's not spelt like that, but weird spelling. Or collector. Anyways, we'll take our time out. Trent's plays of the day. Unfortunately, we did not get our basketball conversation, but we will. We'll find somebody to help us to non-regular season NBA talkers out during the postseason.
Are you locked and loaded tonight? Are you going to watch right away both games?
No, I'm going to watch. The Jets are playing, but it's meaningless. Okay. I'm going to watch the battle for the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference.
Uh-huh.
And yes, I'll spend my majority of time on the NBA, and then I want to watch a little Cubs.
Yes.
I want to watch the Cubs tonight.
I got to see Henricks tonight, too.
It's a big start for him, Trent. Big start for him tonight. I'm with you 100%. We'll see if that makes Trent's card. Guessing the two NBA. And they're tight spreads, right?
Yes,
I mean, they're both
are.
Like 1-2s.
Yeah, right in there. 1.5 right now for the Pelicans. 2.5 for the Warriors.
So the Pelicans are favored?
Back favored.
Over the Lakers? A public team?
Club them. Something stinks.
It does stink. It's 12:45. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear Trent's plays of the day. They're next. Circus Sports sponsor. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Miller and Condon on KXNO. And Trent's pick of the day, presented by Circus Sports Iowa.
Which version?
The good one.
Luke Combs.
No. Tracy Chapman. Come on.
Luke Combs, pretty good.
It is good.
He is pretty good.
I am not a country music fan by any means.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. But this is.
I guess he reached out to Caitlin Clark yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
It's some new technology. It looked like it was coming out of a mirror. And I guess that's how people work out now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounds so old. Yep. Sounds so old. Sounds like my grandparents when I was your age or 20, 30 something.
You just roll your eyes.
I do. Yeah, here I am. And you will be too one day, folks.
I'm getting there.
And you are, yes, indeed. Well, let's get there with some plays, shall we? How many baseball? How many? Well, there's only two NBAs. You're playing them both?
I am going to play them both. We got a six-pack of games overall, 4 in baseball, 2 in the NBA. That Lakers line stinks.
It does. What are we missing?
I have no idea. A bounce back, beating a team twice in 3 days. Maybe a little too much gumbo. I have no idea. Give me the Pelicans minus the 1 because that thing just stinks to high heaven. I'm going chalky also in the late one. Give me Golden State minus the 2.5. Sacramento.
I can't see them going home, Trent.
They're really banged up. They're going to play without two starters. This is going to be a huge Keegan Murray game, by the way. An opportunity. He's been having to chase around Steph at different times when they played. Now, the last 3 times these two teams have faced, it's been a 1-point game. So you'd grab the 2.5, not me. I'm going to take Golden State here, and I'll lay it with them. Then over to baseball. I love what Whitlock's doing for the Red Sox. He is off to an incredible start against Bibby, who is just, right? Yep. Lay the minus 108. Yep. Give me Boston. The Sox with pick number 1. Free square, Kansas City with Brady Singer on the bump against the godforsaken White Sox, minus 185. I'm going to take a dog. This one might surprise you late night tonight. Give me the A's. Play a decent baseball.
They are, Trent. They are.
Sears is one of their better pitchers against Lance Lynn. I am not a Lance Lynn fan.
And they blanked the Redbirds yesterday, I want to say. I think they did.
I'm going to go back-to-back. Give me Oakland plus 128. I can't bet on Kyle Hendricks right now. Give me the Diamondbacks minus 121. Again, the picks, the Red Sox minus 108, the Pelicans minus 1, Royals minus 185, Diamondbacks minus 121, A's plus 128, and the Golden State Warriors.
All right, good stuff. Reminder to everybody, if severe weather reappears, tune to News Radio 1040 WHO. There you will be covered. Murph and Andy, they're coming up next from 1 to 3. The Drive today, Heather and Sean, 3, as every day, 3 until 6. Tomorrow morning will start the morning rush. Local program begins at 6. We're Miller and Condon. We take over the 11 to 1 shift on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.